Welcome to Decamus,
episode 5, featuring Robert
and Ruth. Today we're interviewing Mrs. Yoderberg, a math teacher. Will you first tell us just a little bit about yourself?
Of course. I have been a math teacher here at NCA for 15 years. I, previously to that, was a stay-at-home mom for about 20 years. And before I was a stay-at-home mom, I taught math at Glenbard East High School. I have been married for a really long time, 37 years, and I have 4 children, 5 grandsons, and 1 new grandbaby on the way. What are the chances it's a girl?
You don't know yet?
We don't know.
Aww.
We don't know.
Our first question for you is, what is your favorite math class you taught and why?
I know I should say calculus because I absolutely love to teach calculus. But honestly, my favorite math class to teach is Algebra 2.
Oh, I remember our Algebra 2
Do
class.
You?
It was so fun.
You know, it is such a foundational course for every more advanced math or science you're going to take. Mm. It's absolutely essential for ACT, SAT, and it's like the chance that the teacher has to make sure that all the fundamentals are there. It's really the transition from elementary math to more sophisticated math, and I love to teach it so that I can make sure everything is in place for the students to have success going forward.
My favorite part of that class was what's your vector, Victor?
I know. I know. From Airplane?
Yep.
But who knew? You all didn't think that Airplane clip was as funny as Despicable Me, so you didn't know the Airplane movie. I know, and you guys loved the Despicable Me.
It was so funny. Mm-hmm. Okay, did you always want to be a math teacher or a teacher in general?
No. When I went to college, I had signed on to do a 3-2 engineering program. I went to DePauw University in Greencastle, Indiana, and I was going to be 3 years at DePauw and 2 years at Purdue to get an engineering degree. So I had spent all of my high school years knowing I'm going to be an engineer. Mm. And it was in the second semester of my freshman year. And I was taking physics. And physics was not as much my favorite as the math was. Mm. But my physics teacher said to me, "Why are you going to be an engineer? Why aren't you considering teaching? All you ever do in this lab is help the other people finish their lab." He said, "All I ever watch you do is teach the other people the physics. Why aren't you going to be a teacher?" Mm. And it like changed my life. So I always credit Dr. Paul Kissinger, who passed away a couple years ago, my physics teacher, as being so instrumental in directing my life. Mm. And it inspires me still because it makes you realize what a giant influence a teacher can have in a person's life. I mean, literally, his relationship and his mentoring of me changed my career path. Mm. I know.
So amazing.
Okay, our next question is, what's the best thing you reprimanded someone for? We came up with this because of all the many times in class or in the hallways we've heard you telling a kid to stop doing something that they should not be doing.
They should not be doing. I know, and I have probably, to a fault, been too sarcastic for way too many years. Not with every student, but with the students who really deserve it. Mm. So probably the worst sarcastic reprimand I ever gave to a student was one in particular. Walked in my room. He was drawing butts on the board. And I said to him, "Why are you drawing self-portraits on my whiteboard?" And I probably shouldn't have said that. But I still think that was my best one.
One of my favorites was when we had a science test next period and someone studied all night. And so they were sleeping on the table because you said we could have study time.
I wonder who that
was. I wonder. And in turn, you turned off your alarms and tied his shoes together. That was my favorite.
Yes, I did that too. Did he wake up when we
did? He did. We were a little too loud when we were leaving the room.
When we were tying the shoes together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Our next question for you. What's the best math question someone's ever asked you?
Oh, gosh. There are a lot of them. But they generally come from the younger kids. Mm. So even this week, I had a sixth grader who said to me, if a negative times a positive is a negative, and a positive times a negative is a negative, and a negative times a negative is a positive, doesn't it make sense that two positives multiplied should be negative? Shouldn't a positive times a positive be a negative by this logic?
No.
Right. But right? But then it makes you think, how do I help him believe that? And I think he was mostly kind of kidding. At the same time, it brings up something really interesting to think about,
yeah.
You know? So the sixth graders, the younger kids, they always come up with really interesting basic questions that are very challenging to try to figure out how to answer.
Yeah.
We might need to come back to that one because I'm sure there are more, but that even just happened this week. I mean, so many times the younger kids will ask a question and I think, I've got to go look that up. Because it's a really good question. We often fly through our elementary arithmetic ideas and take it for granted. But then when you really dig into it, it's way more complicated than you think it is. Mm. And they ask good questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I wish I could come up with some better ones for you.
Have there ever been questions that are like, Michaela, who's like in college course classes, have there been multiple where you're like, I don't even know
exactly
how to do it?
For sure. Absolutely. And, you know, for you guys, like, Anna, you took Calc 3 this year. That was a really long time ago. That was like 42 years ago. Wasn't that crazy? 42 years ago, I took Calc 3. So, yeah, I just am not going to remember that. This is not one of your questions, but speaking of that, like the hard things kids ask sometimes, I think young teachers are sometimes afraid to say, I really don't know, I'm going to go look it up.
Mm.
But I don't think a student ever minds. Mm-hmm. I don't think students ever mind hearing, I don't know the answer to that question, but that's really interesting and I'm going to go find out. So
You've done that a few times in our class and I'd be like, I thought teachers knew everything. And I was like, wait, but that makes sense. I mean, it's not like you have infinite knowledge.
Right. Yeah. And it also is an example of how teachers learn from their students and grow from their students and become more curious because of the things that their students ask them. Yeah. So, yeah. And I will say, there are kids in this building today who know more math than I do, like Anna. And instead of feeling intimidated by that, it is the greatest joy. I mean, think about it. Wouldn't that be your greatest joy as a teacher? To send one of your students out to do even more than you did. And I love that. I just love that there are several of you in Calc 3 and beyond who know more than I do. It's awesome.
Definitely not me, but.
No, you're down there.
Well, it was all because of you and like in helping me like to get ahead in math for sure.
Oh, thanks.
But also, so building off of asking good questions, what would make a student a good mathematician?
First of all, curiosity, and really thoughtful problem solving. People sometimes mistake that being a mathematician is all about arithmetic, and a lot of great mathematicians were really bad at arithmetic or slow at arithmetic. Being a good mathematician is about being really curious about where the ideas come from. How can we believe these things are true? When a teacher first tells their students, this is the Pythagorean theorem, a squared plus b squared equals c squared. The first time you learn it, you are just told that this is a truth. But students should, at some point in their progression, question that. Like, where did that come from? Why should I believe it? When you're younger, you have to trust your teacher well enough to say, yes, I believe, she's not trying to pull the wool over my eyes. That is true. But to become a really good mathematician, you have to ask the next question. Why is that true? Where did it come from? Who proved it first? What time period was it proved in? And dig into that. Go learn some of that on your own. I like to remind kids that there's so much to learn that we can't do in a classroom. There's not enough time. There's not enough time for us in class or for me in class to teach you everything you need to know. So a good mathematician is going to go out and try to fill in those gaps independently.
Yeah, we wanted to ask, kind of building on that, how can we as students take the next step to be a good mathematician and have a love for math?
Mm-hmm. Definitely read more. Mm-hmm. Read about mathematicians. Read some interesting, even lighter books about mathematics. You know, read Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell and listen to some of the statistics he presents. I think, you know, read more. Mr. Jacobs is really good about handing kids books, right? And there's a lot of accessible, not super deeply theoretical books about math that you can read, you know. So I think that would be a place to start. And another place would be, I don't know how to convince kids that sometimes math and puzzles are fun. So you read a novel for fun. Why not think about doing a math puzzle for fun? Pick up a book of math puzzles. Pick up a book of Martin Gardner's puzzles and do some of those as entertainment. So I think finding ways to do math as entertainment would also go a long way.
I remember during COVID, I think someone gave me a sheet of paper and it was like a picture and it meant like this plus this equals this. And it was like a witch. But you didn't notice that like in the next one, she only had one wand, not four or something. Right. So it was like, it was also noticing it, but then also diagnosing what things make up the math. And it was super cool. I remember doing that and finding it so fun.
Did you like that? Yeah. I remember we tried to do like a problem of the week in COVID. And we started strong. And then I think I ran out of good ideas for a problem of the week.
It was hard. COVID wasn't a good time.
No, I know.
Okay, our last, like, kind of more serious question is, what are you looking forward to during your retirement?
First of all, there's a lot I'm sad about leaving. So, yes, there are things I'm definitely looking forward to. But I do feel like there's going to be a big hole in my life not being here with all of you guys and not being part of like a professional role. I am looking forward to going to the grocery store at 10 a.m. You know, sometimes teaching is very limiting in your time.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to not having to go to the dentist at 7 a.m.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. Because you can't just go to the dentist whenever you want, you know. So those kinds of things. I'm obviously really looking forward to having a little more time with the grandkids. When somebody's sick and could really use grandma to come over and help, it's going to be great to be to be free to be able to do that. Yeah. And my husband particularly really wants to take a vacation some other time than the last week in March. Because the last week in March, when everybody in the United States of America has spring break, is not a great time always to travel. So he says, I want to take a trip in October. So just having a little more flexibility, timing flexibility.
We wanted to go into some more like quick facts of Mrs. Universe. Okay. So our first one, this has been a big dispute in our class. From as like grammar schoolers, we would give subjects a color for like our binders. And math has always been the one that we like argue about. So as the math expert, what color is math?
I would say today, right this minute, red.
Yes. Good. Exactly.
Okay. But if you ask me next week, I might say something different. But today it feels red.
A lot of people say blue.
Yeah.
Which I can understand, but it's not, it's math is red.
Yeah. Math is red.
Yes. Math it was just red. Something we really needed to clear up for at least Anna and I.
Math is red.
Okay. Our next one is, what's your favorite field day team you were on?
Ooh. That's a hard question. That's a hard question.
Did you ever win?
I've never won.
I've never won either.
I have never ever won.
Really? Neither?
13 years, I've never won.
I've never even been on the...
I've never been podium.
I've never placed. Actually, I've never been podium.
Me either.
Ever. I think it's me.
I think it's me, too. I think I'm bad luck.
Yeah. One year, I had little Pearl Kelly on my team, and that was sweet because she just...
Was so excited.
Was so excited. So yeah. I loved that so much. And then there was another year that Connor Anderson was a senior on my team, and it was fun and intense, and he, like, carried the crowd. So, yeah.
I think you're going to have a really good team this year, too, with Mr. Herman. Oh, I was, yeah. Oh, man. When I heard it was you and Mr. Herman on the same team,
I know.
I was like, I need to be on that one. And then it was Judah, and I was really mad.
Because, you know, I only did the obstacle course, like, the first 2 years. And then I thought, this is dumb. I'm old, and I'm going to get hurt. I'm not. So I don't do obstacle course. I don't do sumo wrestling.
No.
I don't even do the plunger run because I'm going to get knocked over. I just don't do that anymore either. So,
yeah. Okay. So our next question, you've moved around a lot. I feel like you've moved around classrooms the most out of the teachers. What was your favorite classroom that you taught in?
I feel like the one I'm in is just my room.
Yeah.
I feel like the kindergarten Sunday school room in the church is my room. Mm-hmm. That's just my room. It's small, though.
Yeah.
I have been in 5 different rooms. Wow. Upstairs the first year, except the grammar school kicked the upper school out of the second floor because we were kind of loud and obnoxious. And I've been in the Suntown room.
Yeah.
I've been in Mrs. Reynolds' room, and I've been in that back old choir room, the Latin room now. So 5 different rooms. Changing rooms is not fun.
Mm-mm.
My room is the kindergarten room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why another question we were going to ask is, how long do you predict it'll take for us to stop calling your room now the Mrs. Yetterbrick room?
Probably a year, at least a year. But I bet it'll go faster than you think.
I don't know. With us leaving, maybe it will next year, but, like, I will always call that your room. Aww. Like, it's just, it won't be anything else.
Even last year, and it wasn't your room, it was always, like, it's Mrs. Yetterbrick's.
Mrs. Yetterbrick's. Yeah, when Mr. Chapin was in there, I was like, oh, yeah, they're in Mrs. Yetterbrick's room. But it was like, yeah.
Maybe I'll just etch it into the
you should.
Paint.
You should do, like, people, like, paint on top of the door. Because no one looks on top of the doors. You could, like, paint Mrs. Yetterbrick's room.
I could do that. Maybe I'll write it on the butterfly.
The butterfly that's
hanging. The butterfly that's hung in the room as long as I have been a teacher at NCA.
Really?
Really.
It's always been there?
It's been that long. It's always been here the whole time I've been here. So at least 15 years, the butterfly has hung in that room. And the 6th graders mostly believe that there is a hidden camera in there. And that when they are being silly, it's recording them. And I will show that film at graduation. And they mostly believe that.
Well, we actually...
I mean, it's been there for a long time.
It's been there for a long time.
But it's like a paper. How do you have like a camera?
It's minuscule.
It's like a spy camera. Yeah. It's a spy camera.
I love spy cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Our last question, or not even a question, just what are your last words for NCA as a teacher?
Learning can be hard, but it's worth it. So I would tell everyone, keep reading, keep learning, care for one another, take care of each other. And somehow when the days are hard, we need to remind ourselves how special NCA is.
Mm-hmm.
The opportunities that we have had here for interaction with staff and, praying for one another, you're just not going to find that anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So, it's been an incredible blessing to be here. My fellow staff members, oh my goodness, that is going to be hard to leave.
Yeah.
We are just bound tightly together and so like-minded. We have so much fun together, but at the same time, we're all on mission together, and that is incredible to have colleagues that everyone just wants to be together. And for you guys, when the going gets rough, you know, just keep going. And what I've noticed too through the years, you kind of come out of that life is terrible, I hate school stuff about 10th grade.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, 11th and 12th, you all start saying, I really like to learn. I like to read. This is so interesting. I heard this great lecture. And I would like to challenge the older kids to help the younger kids see it. Because the younger kids, like in piano lessons, they're just still playing scales. You know, they're just still playing the C scale and the D scale. And they don't see them, they don't hear the music yet. Mm-hmm. And you guys get to hear that by like 11th grade. Mm-hmm. So I think the challenge for everybody is to help keep that middle grade. Mm-hmm. They're doing hard work, but they're not as much seeing the fruit yet. Mm-hmm. And then you guys get to see it in 11th and 12th grade. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us. And of course. I've enjoyed it so much.
Oh, I'm going to miss you guys so much. Oh, I'm going to miss you. I'm coming back for all the things.
I mean, I wouldn't expect anything
I'm else. Coming back for all the things. Yes, yes, exactly.
Okay. So, well, I hope that the rest of the summer is good for all our listeners and that maybe they'll listen next year. But this has been Decamus
featuring Robert
and Ruff.
Goodbye.